This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
Yes, your weekly fix of international LGBT news and current affairs from Joy 94.9. We take you around the globe one country at a time. Big thank you to JJ for the hits and Judy for the latest in local news. The Worldwide Wave team tonight, Paul is here.
Hello.
Welcome back, Ian.
Hello. And how are you going?
Fantastic. My name is Matt. This year we've been able to bring you some positive stories out of Africa about advances in LGBTI rights, including the recent decriminalisation of homosexuality in Angola. You might even think there's a tide of change swelling in Africa. Tonight we take you to a country where same-sex relations are still illegal, but the love story between two women might give hope for change. We are off to Kenya.
And we're going to be looking at what is the role of gossip in Kenyan society?
Why aren't we seeing many lesbian stories come out of Africa?
And what's the real reason behind the initial banning of a film showing lesbian love? For an inspiring insight into the life of lesbians in Kenya, tonight we're joined by Winari Kari-O, who's director of the hit film Rafiki, and it's showing in this year's Melbourne Queer Film Festival.
Young boy ain't no more. I got them scars, like a soldier. I was alone, all I had was just me and myself, and I did it in nobody's business. Now you want it? It's too late, it's over, I told ya. We gon' get it. Alone, all I had was just me and myself, and I did it. Ain't nobody's business. Now you want it. It's too late, it's over, I told ya. We gon' get it. Through every door that was closing, now I'm following a heart that's been broken. Now I got the whole world wide open. Walking through every door that was closing, now I'm following a heart that's been broken. We gon' get it.
This is Douglas.
And this is Paula.
From Kaleidoscope Australia Human Rights Foundation, keeping a watchful eye on LGBTI rights across Asia and the Pacific.
On the World Wide Wave.
And a few messages coming in. Great to hear from you. 0427 Joy 949 is the SMS, or onair@joy.org.au. Richard says, happy Joyosity. I'm very much enjoying all the queer films this week at Melbourne Queer Film Festival. So are we, and we're bringing you a couple tonight that you can get your teeth into as well, because we're off to Kenya tonight.
Yes, and it seems that the LGBTI stories from Kenya are overwhelmingly about gay men and generally involve violence and sadness. But stories about same-sex relationships between women are almost non-existent. That is, until now.
Wanuri Kahio is the director of the hit film Rafiki. We started by asking Wanuri, what is the current legal status for same-sex relations between women in Kenya?
So the law that prohibits same-sex relations in Kenya is under carnal knowledge against the order of nature, which doesn't only apply to same-sex relations, but also applies to any sort of sex that does not lead to procreation. So in the law, they define thysex, fellatio, anything that isn't considered whatever the order of nature should be. So sex is not defined as for pleasure. It's only defined as for the growth of the nation.
Are same-sex relations with women any less explosive than those between two men? Is it slightly more accepted, or is it just not heard of at all?
It's both of them are treated the same way under the law. I think socially people have different views on it, but under the law it's treated the same.
And your film was in fact banned in Kenya, and then you challenged this and it was able to show for a period of 1 week. Just tell us a bit about the story behind that.
Yeah, so Rafiki was banned in Kenya not only because of the relationship it portrayed, but really because the ending of the film was considered too hopeful and not remorseful enough. So when I went to meet the Kenya Film Classification Board the first time, they asked me to change the ending of the film, and if I would make it more remorseful, then they would give it a rating. When I refused to change the ending of the film, they then said that it had to be banned because it was against the norms and values of Kenya. So that implies that a remorseful ending is within the norms and values, which I don't believe, obviously. And so as a result of that, we decided to go to court because our constitution that was created in 2010 allows for freedom of expression. But the laws that ban my film are colonial laws that were made in 1962. So we're trying to push for the court, like the constitutional court, to recognize that this was an infringement of our constitutional rights.
I did read a quote from one of the censors saying, harebrained schemes by foreign film funders and producers in Kenya to promote homosexuality in the name of equality and inclusion will be exposed and strongly resisted. What do you say to that?
I think that same-sex relations has existed for as long as humans have been alive. So this is not a foreign policy. This is a depiction of love. And love has always taken many forms for as long as humans have been alive. So much so that there are traditions, there are words, there are practices that refer to same-sex relations all through Africa. It's not new. What is new to Africa are the colonial laws that were imposed to stop same-sex relations. That is what is new in Africa. Before that, people have always expressed themselves how people express themselves. And people will continue to express themselves the way people continue to express their love in different ways from one human being to another human being. So I don't think that anybody, foreign or otherwise, can come in and impose a policy or an ideology that hasn't been ours to begin with or hasn't been expressed in our identity to begin with. Nor do I believe that Africans are so easily swayed by foreign influences that they would change, like abruptly change who they are to suit a government or a people who do not represent them. I believe in my African people, and I believe that they're strong-minded. I believe that they're savvy. I believe that they are mature. And those, whatever they believe to be true for themselves, cannot be so easily swayed by a film or by intermittent foreign influence in the continent.
So when it was actually shown in Kenya, how was it received?
It was received amazingly well. We showed for that 1 week, and we became the second highest grossing Kenya film with only 1 week's release. And we became the highest grossing film of the year, out-competing Black Panther. So we did increasingly well. We had theaters sold out, fully booked from morning to evening every day that the film released. So that shows that there is a willingness of people to watch images and stories of themselves on screen. And our duty as storytellers is to give them as many varied images and ideas of themselves. And my firm policy is to do it with compassion, respect, hope, and joy.
Were you able to get a sense of, is there any sort of generational divide? Are young people more accepting, more excited by the film as opposed to older generations, or was it a mix?
I think like anywhere else in the world, the idea of same-sex relationships are coming into their own, and there has worldwide been more of a resistance to any change from an older generation than a younger generation. A younger generation now, especially the generations that we're looking at now, are connected, have access to each other globally, have conversations with people who they consider their social media tribe, whoever that is, and that's not defined by sex or tribe or nationality or religion or race. It's just by the people who they follow and who share similar values with them. So now is an amazing time, especially in the rise of millennials, where we are seeing people wanting to be fully engaged in the world that they live in and having an opportunity to do that in various ways. So I think that you will see the difference, not only in Kenya, the generational difference in Kenya, but also globally. And that's something that I feel is the space of this generation to change.
That's Wanuri Kahio, director of the film Rafiki, showing this week at the Melbourne Queer Film Festival. Coming up, Wanuri gives an impassioned response to what this film says about women in Kenya today. You're on World Wide Wave.
Our community is stronger with joy. Become a member, joy.org.au.
Melbourne, let's talk about property. If you've been sitting on the fence about buying an apartment in Melbourne's inner southeast, now is the perfect time to invest. Clover Financial Solutions are trusted financial advisors that are here to assist you in finding a loan that fits. Clover Financial, achieve the life you imagine. For more information, visit cloverfinancial.com.au. Joy sponsor.
Now, why not check out one of Joy's great podcasts? Did you miss the first episode of the brand new Word for Word, hosted by Lisa Daniel? Well, you can relive the whole thing with the new Word for Word podcast. Our whole special Mardi Gras broadcast is available to podcast right now. And Tom and Andy got a very special surprise phone call from the one and only Kylie Minogue last Monday. Check out the podcast to hear how shocked the boys were.
And don't forget, you can find all your favourite World Wide Wave shows, including our most recent podcast on our show on decriminalisation of homosexuality in Angola.
And all these podcasts and many, many more are available wherever you get your podcasts. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them.
Hi, this is Jane Ward, author of the book Not Gay, Sex Between Straight White Men, speaking from Los Angeles on the World Wide Wave.
Tonight we are in Kenya. A few messages coming in on Facebook this time, responding to the story we posted in the week about Singapore wanting to introduce or putting in sex education that specifically promotes heterosexual marriage. Aldo says, more and more brainwashing. Let's now try and teach the gay away. We also got a thank you from our guest last week from the film Jose. And we just literally, before we walked into the studio, posted a story which is on that America could possibly get its first trans male judge. And it's gone crackers. Selena, Dylan and Kevin are loving it. So follow us on Facebook, W3Joy on Facebook, and we'll send you all sorts of wonderful news from the LGBT world throughout the week.
We are in Kenya this evening. One of the themes of the film Rafiki deals with religion in the Kenyan culture. And it's done through the eyes of the leading character's mother, who's a scripture teacher. So we asked the director, what was she trying to show about religion and its place in Kenyan culture?
I think religion is something that we hold very, very closely in Kenyan culture. And it's something that has begun to define our interactions in a very beautiful way, in a very faith-based communal way. However, we also have to be careful about how religion can come and change African ideologies that pre-existed before that. I think that we need to be careful that our identity can not only be defined by a religion that existed many, many years after our existence. I think there's a way of beautifully marrying the two, but taking with us the idea of oneness, which I truly believe to be within the spirit of, if there was ever an African spirit, and we can never, there is no such thing because Africa is so diverse. But I'd want to imagine that the idea of oneness, of Ubuntu, Umoja, the idea of us being a collective and looking out for the collective and looking out for the goal of many and not just the individual, as well as respecting the interests of the individual, is something that is very much our own. And in that sense, if we think of loving each other as our neighbors and loving each other as we are, then I think that the thing that is un-African is homophobia, not same-sex relationships. So it was important to be able to address the idea of oneness, the idea of community in religion through the film, because it speaks very much to what we hold true as people who are living on this side of the world. The idea that we want to be better for each other, the idea that our country is built on a foundation and a motto of peace, love, and unity. And the only other places that we see peace, love, and unity reflected is in our faith, is in our religion. And so to fully incorporate the motto that we carry within us, we look to religion to help us find the way. And I wanted to help that conversation along by showing that there are more inclusive ways of including people rather than devising ways of keeping them out.
You talk there about peace. The homophobia, though, that you're mentioning does show itself in the film and in society in both verbal and physical abuse.
Yeah.
Is that just a daily part of life? Yeah.
No, it's not a daily part of life. And I don't even want the film to be an impression that that's how every person's story goes. This is a very particular story, and a very particular story about a close-knit community within Nairobi. And they're so close-knit, and they're so inter-involved with each other that whenever they have a dispute, it's heard by neighbors, and what happens in your house is shared by neighbors, you know? So it's a very close-knit community that almost kind of, they almost spy on each other. They almost like look into each other's houses and walls and spread whatever happens personally through the village gossip in a very public way. This story shows the possibility, one of many possibilities that could happen if girls chose love over safety. And that's the only conversation I'm trying to have, is if you had to choose between love and safety, what would you choose? And we want to move towards a space, and I'm urging us all to think about ways to create a space where you don't have to choose one over the other. And so it was important to show the possibilities of what could happen. And even that was quite, we know of real cases that have been far worse than what was depicted in the film. and our response is to try and figure out a way through love and through understanding to be able to quell the aggression. Otherwise, and unfortunately, people can be hurt and have been hurt.
The town gossip that you mentioned, which seems to be a key source of news and untruths in Kenyan society, how do you combat that?
I think that's a global question at the moment. I mean, how are we combating false media? How are we combating bad reports, especially when they come from trusted sources? How are we reacting to sensationalist news items that are in our world at the moment, rather than really dealing with what's true and trying to be kind when we're dealing with people and when we're dealing with each other? So I think that's a question that we all have to answer. How do we deal with it? How do we deal with the gossip and the false news and the fake news and the bad mouthing of people and the belittling of humanity? How do we deal with it? And my only response can be with kindness, is that when we speak of each other, we do it with kindness. And hopefully that's also represented in the dealings of the other people around her. The father figure, John, is kind. Vicky's mother is kind after a while. But we have to understand that we're also, as part of learning, we have to understand that disruption can cause pain because nobody is always ready for change. I think that there's an opportunity to approach that conversation with kindness. And hopefully one of the ways to do it is through making films like Rafiki and listening to more diverse voices about their point of view about the world that they live in.
What does the film say about women in Kenyan society?
Oh, it says that we're powerful. It says that we're amazing. It says that we're resilient. It says that we're loving. It says that we have the possibility of being in love. It says that we're happy. It says that we're joyful. It says that we can be sad. It says that we can lose hope. It says that we have faith. It says that we are just magnificent, as is every other woman. And more than ever, let us champion the women in our community.
Fantastic. Have you had feedback from audiences about the film?
One of the conversations that has come up as a result of this movie is the idea of readiness. The idea that Africa is not ready or Kenya is not ready to deal with these issues. And I think that kind of view is quite patronizing because nobody is ever ready. Nobody is ever ready to be a mother. Nobody is ever ready to be a wife. Nobody is ever ready to be in love. Nobody is ever ready for complete success. Nobody is ever ready for utmost happiness. There is no such thing as readiness, but we must prepare the way. We must at least prepare the path so that when we are ready, we meet people where they are with acceptance and with kindness. Because truly, I think that that's the only way as humanity we can begin to understand each other. People have to be made ready. And the only way to do that is by allowing stories to be told so that we begin to understand different perspectives and understand different states of readiness.
The film is Rafiki. It's one of the great films in this year's Melbourne Queer Film Festival. Wanuri Kahio, the director, thank you very much for joining us from Kenya.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
What an inspiring, passionate person. And I'm sure that will undoubtedly come through in the film itself. I did love the comments there about when talking about the village gossip and the way news gets around the old grapevine, if you like, in the village, that it's the original fake news.
Well, that's what gossip is, isn't that a definition of gossip?
Yeah. Yeah. So pre-social media, we've got the gossip, the grapevine, the village
grapevine.
That's true
in any village. I mean, villages in country England, it's very difficult to do something without it getting around the village.
Do you think, therefore, that combating that, if you are so comfortable in yourself and you just put it out there that this is me, this is who I am, it kind of gives the gossips nowhere to go?
Well, I think they still would try and attack or try and, because that's their livelihood, that's how they live and breathe is to actually provide the gossip. So if they haven't got anything to gossip about, they're still going to gossip about you, but it's going to run dry very quickly.
But maybe others won't listen if you're just so... It's like if somebody calls you a name and you, instead of, you know, fighting back, you just embrace it. Yep. Yep, and that kind of gives them nowhere to go.
Didn't work for me.
It's an inspiring message, but you do wonder if, as the director said, you know, it comes down to a choice between your personal safety and love at the end of the day. And for many people,
it shouldn't, of course.
But for many people, it still does come down to personal safety. And so it's a very inspiring message, but I think it's a tough one for people in particular communities, especially small communities, wherever those are.
Yeah. The other one I like too, that homophobia is un-African, not homosexuality. So it's actually the imported law change from...
Britain,
is the root of all evil.
Yes,
Little Britain.
It's an amazing film. It's only on this week as a part of Melbourne Queer Film Festival. So we'll give you some ticketing information at the end. It's on this Thursday night. So it's already sold out once. So in the big cinema down there at Acme. So they've already had a great start. We'll be watching that. In Kenya too, there is the Kenyan court is going to rule on whether the current ban on homosexuality, the Section 377, whether that is unconstitutional. So they were due to do that in February. They pushed it back to May. So we'll be keeping an eye on that and bringing you the news as it breaks right here on World Wide Wave.
To hear more, find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Have you ever wanted to be on radio? Do you think you've got what it takes to be a broadcaster on Joy 94.9? And they're all shaking their heads at me at the moment. Add your name to the waiting list for Joy's radio training course by emailing courses@joy.org.au and be the first to hear about future training dates. So that's courses@joy.org.au. So start your radio superstardom with us. And that's certainly where I started mine. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Taya Braun, Legal Director of the Human Dignity Trust on World Wide Wave.
It all began, innocent as love can be, in every word, you gave it all to me, cause this is what a love song sounds like, another life, two beating hearts of mine, the party's over, but you're still over the line, cause this is what a love song sounds like. This could be my life, but it's only
And that was Lady Hawk with a love song and yet another strong message from the New Zealand artist.
Kiwis. A good, strong, positive, fabulous Kiwi. We love them. In fact, when you get that good, we'll probably claim you.
All right. As Australian. You can have me then.
No, as Australian, the Kiwis. Messages in. Melina has sent an email onair@joy.org.au. Hey, guys, great discussion. And films are the best form of art to promote diversity. I agree. You can really tell a good story on film. Incidentally, ILGA is trying to elect more representatives from the African region, and these views need to be heard so their voices are given more power for change. Totally agree. Totally agree. So, yes, ILGA is the International Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Trans and Intersex Association, and so Australia fits into the Oceania region, so they're trying to get some more African delegates. Thank you for that update, Melina. Love it.
Well, on the topic of films, as the Melbourne Queer Film Festival ends next Monday, we haven't been able to fit the full interview in for another film, and that's a documentary called Trans Military. So tonight we wanted to give you a little taste of that film and have a chance to listen to that before the film, which is next week. We'll have a full interview next week with Gabrielle Silverman and Fiona Dawson, who are the directors of the documentary. Here in this extract, they explain the experience of a trans person if their commanding officer is not accepting of their gender identity.
As you see in the film, Logan was able to serve as a man in Afghanistan because his direct commander allowed it to happen. And what you end up seeing is that within the absence of good policy, there's a patchwork of how people are treated. And this is where it comes down to discrimination and bias. So, for example, Logan, a white male, is treated a lot different than, let's say, his wife, who's a woman of color. And that's why a consistent policy is required, so that there's equal treatment of people regardless of gender or race or any other factor, and really look at, can they do their job properly? So yes, there are experiences every day of people who are being discriminated against because of their gender identity, not because necessarily for policy issues, but because the commander don't understand it and they have a lot of control. And so what ends up happening is, when you look at, if you were to do like a Freedom of Information Act request and see how many people were kicked out of the military for being transgender explicitly, well, that number might not be that high, because what ends up happening is commanders who want to discriminate against certain troops will find every other reason to attack them. They will find every other reason to discriminate against them, to push them out so that, you know, they make their lives a living hell. So it is true, the reverse can be true, and that's why we need consistent policy.
Fiona, is the experience different for trans men and trans women? Are they treated differently? Is one more accepted than another?
It's a great question, and one that we ponder upon a lot. I don't want to stereotype and generalize too much, but I will say that we do find that, you know, masculinity is really revered in the military. You have to be the strongest fighting force. And so whether you're cisgender or transgender, masculinity is a valuable asset within the military. And so you do find that trans men typically seem to have an easier time than trans women when it comes to transitioning in that environment. Of course, you know, trans men, when they take testosterone, is much more of a powerful hormone than estrogen. And so your body changes, you know, much quicker and you can become stronger easier. And so, you know, we have found anecdotally that our trans guys are having an easier time than trans women. But then also I think that that's true for cis and trans women outside of the military as well. You know, we still see a lot of gender bias and differences in how men and women are treated differently in society per se, which is one of the important reasons from an advocacy perspective why I wanted to tell this story, because I think when you look at how trans people can thrive and excel in their careers in the military, which is one of the most gender segregated workplaces you'll find, that there's no reason why we should be treating people differently in society as well.
So that was an extract of the full interview that you can hear next week on World Wide Wave about the documentary Trans Military.
What a great movie that sounds like. Are you going to anything in the film festival?
No, unfortunately I've missed out. I have been occupied elsewhere.
I think if I rush from this right now, I make it to an 8:30 show at the Nova. And the Nova is where both of those movies are showing on Thursday night.
Well, you can't rush away at the moment because then you just leave me on my own somewhere.
I wouldn't rush away. No, we've got till 8 o'clock. Now, you are leaving us soon, Paul.
Yes, I am decided to take a break from World Wide Wave and from Joy and try my hand at something else. I'm contemplating joining a choir who happen to meet on Tuesdays, so that sort of means that I can't do this and do the choir at the same time. So I don't even know if I can sing, but yeah,
I don't think that
I'll
matters in a
go.
Choir. I think you can just mouth the words.
Mouth the words.
That's what I always used to do.
Yeah, that's not really going to work if that you're a soloist.
Okay.
Not that I expect to be, but who knows? Yeah. So no, we are definitely looking for new voices. So if people are interested, put their names down for their training courses that were advertised. So that's courses@joy.org.au.
Taste of Radio. I cannot recommend A Taste of Radio highly enough to people. It is a great way to get through all of those fears and concerns about, well, what do I do? What button do I press? You can make mistakes. You're working with a beautiful group of peers. And that was one of the ways in which I came through a couple of years ago. And then I moved on to The Informer for a while. And then I took a break, a bit like you're about to take now. Yep. And it's lovely to be back again because it's such a great atmosphere to work on Joy.
Yeah, I can't recommend. A friend of mine suggested I come on and do the radio, basically to get me out of the house. And I've been doing this now. I was looking back at the calendar we have for World Wide Wave, and I started on the 2nd of September. My first show was 2nd of September 2014, so nearly over 4.5 years ago.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Break, and please think about coming back.
I will. So this is World Wide Wave.
Now, that's it for tonight. Thanks to our interviews, to Winari Kahiho, who's director of the film Rafiki, to Gabrielle Silverman and Fiona Dawson, directors of the documentary Transmilitary. Both of those movies are showing this Thursday night at the Cinema Nova in Carlton. First time that MQFF has come to Carlton. And Transmilitary is at 6:45 p.m. on Thursday, and Rafiki is at 8:30 p.m.
So you can get tickets at the www.mqff.com.au, and we're also going to put the link on our Facebook page.
They're already there, I think. They're already there.
Oh, someone's got there before me. So we will actually bring you the full interview from Transmilitary next week.
Now, we've had messages on Facebook from Selena, from William, from Kim, Greg, Anna, and a heap more who've joined or interacted with us on Facebook this past week. So join us on W3Joy on Facebook.
Yes, very easy to find. And behind the scenes, thank you to our podcaster, Alex. So I think we're up to Algeria, or no. That Indian, African one. Angola. That's
Angola. That wonderful interview with Angola. Great one. Must listen to that.
And social media master Dean over in the US.
Stay tuned for One Hot Wonder with Grace, featuring the greatest classic albums.
Now we're going to come out with some more New Zealand music. This time it's actually Maori. So it's, excuse my pronunciation, but Waivoa, which is spirit in Maori.
With love to Aotearoa.
Ahakwa hei ti he ponga mu.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne and online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3 Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.